right. So now we've kind of gotten the broad perspective on this draft class from a lot of people. So I'm going to try to dig into the details with you a little bit here on some of these guys. And we didn't talk to Steve Palazzolo about the offensive line. So I want to talk to you a little about these offensive line prospects. Broadly speaking, if these guys were in a more typical year, like the last two or three years, when you have some tackle prospects that are top 10, top 15 picks, are these guys mid-second round picks? Are they only being talked about in the first round because of the paucity of guys that are out there? Or do you think Ryan Ramczyk really is a legitimate first round tackle?
I think he is a legitimate top 20 type of tackle. The question with him is his journey to this point. And that's one of the most fascinating aspects of this draft, is figuring out those journeys. A guy that didn't, you know, after high school, didn't get a lot of recruiting attention, kind of took a year off from football. Then he goes to Division III.
Stevens Point, right?
Right, yeah. Stevens Point, Wisconsin, which is his hometown team. You know, played there, and he kind of, the love for football was reinvigorated there. And he figured out, you know, I could play at a higher level. And he goes to Wisconsin, red shirts. And then this year's his only year as a starter at left tackle. But you saw early on that the guy's the real deal. Against LSU in the opener, very good athlete at that size. The sample size just isn't ideal. And so I think there's a few things he needs to work on. But for the most part, I think it's all there. It's not a talent issue, more of an inexperience issue. So with Ramczyk, I think you're looking at a true top 20 pick. The big issue here is the medicals.
The hip surgery,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So how does the hip check out? As long as, you know, doctors give two thumbs up, rehab's on pace to, you know, be fine for training camp, I think that we see Ramczyk go early, and especially with the fact that this isn't a great tackle class. If you want to tackle, you better get them early, you know, to your original point. Are these guys true first-round picks? Like Cam Robinson, to me, he's not a true first-round pick.
How about Bowles?
See, he's another interesting one. He's going to be a 25-year-old rookie who is a – outstanding athlete, and that's why I think he's going to go in the first round. But you're talking about a guy who took a couple years off from college. He went on a church mission that kind of, you know, got his love for football back. Went to Snow College, then went to Utah. You see the athleticism right off the bat, but he needs a lot of work in a strength and conditioning program, build up that base, that core strength, that upper body power, then just technique work. And so for a player with those kind of questions, ideally, first round's not where you want to take him, but that's probably where you need to take him if you want to tackle this year.
Now, John can tell you, I just landed about 45 minutes ago, so I'm a tad late coming into the party, but what is the latest that we know about Ramczyk's medical schedule in terms of when he's going to get checked out? Is he going to do any kind of pro day? Last that I heard was that April before he's able to do much.
Right. That's probably, I think we're still on track. We haven't heard yet. The offensive linemen just had their medicals, so we don't know yet. They had their medicals yesterday. That will be interesting, and that'll be the key to his draft stock, his draft grade.
He's the Miles Jack of this draft.
To a point, yeah.
In a way.
Right. And with Miles Jack, you know, I think when at the combine we were really worried about the information we received, and then it, you know, stayed true. He fell to the second round. With Ramczyk, I'm hoping for better results, you know, more favorable reviews from the doctors and the trainers. You know, this type of thing, it sounds worse than it is. You know, I think a hip injury is obviously not ideal for an offensive lineman.
It's not your hip.
Yeah, true. But he played through it a part of the year. So, you know, we know that it's not something that kept him off the field. He played through it. And as long as there's no long-term effects, I think it's something that teams will be able to overlook and be able to get him in camp and feel good about it.
Now, if you don't want to pick an offensive lineman in the first round, then you want to wait. And you want to say, you know what, maybe I can find a tackle I can develop mm-hmm. down the road. Is there depth here? Are we talking about not a lot of guys at the top end, but you can find some guys a little bit later? Or are we looking at not a lot of guys on any level here when you look at these rounds in the draft?
I think there are a few. Antonio Garcia from Troy is a player who went to the Senior Bowl, had a good week there. A little up and down, but you see the flashes. You see why some scouts really like him. He's built really well. He's a good athlete. So I think Antonio Garcia, if you miss out on one of those tackles early in the first round, he's the consolation prize in the second or third round. Roderick Johnson out of Florida State, a guy who moves really well. Athleticism is there. Needs to really improve that core balance so he's more balanced in his kick slide and with a shuffle, able to punch on the move, adjust the countermeasures. I think Roderick Johnson, a junior coming out of Florida State, could have used another year. But coming out early, I think he saw this tackle class and thought, hey, I can capitalize on this. And so he's probably going to be somewhere in that top 100 picks where normally probably not. More of a developmental guy. So if you need someone to start early, I think Ramczyk's the guy. And then after that, a lot of question marks.
You know, we were just talking to Steve from Pro Football Focus, and like I said to him, there seem to be so many third, fourth, and fifth round guys that you could just fill up a supermarket full of those guys who are supposed to be reliable prospects, mm-hmm. who could be long-term starters, but they're not necessarily going to go to any Pro Bowls. Mm-hmm. Is that how you see it in terms of the offensive line? Because we've talked about how maybe some of the guys at the top are overvalued.
Right. And you need those guys. You know, not every, you know, maybe besides the Cowboys, have, you know, that elite offensive line where it's just studs at every spot. You need guys that are going to fill out your roster and provide depth, maybe some position flexibility, can play inside, play outside, help you out at different spots. And I think you can find those guys in this draft. Mm-hmm. A player like Deion Dawkins from Temple, who mm-hmm. I thought really had a good week in Mobile, might have pushed him up even into the second round area. But before he's looked at third, fourth round, you know, the tackle class isn't great. The center class isn't great. But I think the guards, there's some depth there. I think you can find guys second, third, fourth round that can come in and provide instant depth and fight for a starting spot.
How about when you take a look at this group, we've had some measurements going on already. Mm-hmm. Anybody jump out at you that you think is a big impact on their stock, good or bad, that you've seen come through the measurement process so far?
I think for the most part it's been favorable for the prospect. I think the biggest maybe red flag has been the difference between the Senior Bowl measurements and the measurements here.
And Garcia was one of them, right?
Garcia's one.
20 pounds heavier, I think, right?
He was 9 pounds heavier. Which is a good adjustment for him. But Forrest Lamp, the talented offensive, he was an offensive tackle at Western Kentucky. I think he's a better guard. He's in that Zach Martin type of mold. His arms grew by an inch, which for an offensive lineman, every inch is important.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think most teams, they use the measurements here at the Combine, or when they work them out themselves, they'll use their own measurements and not the Senior Bowl. But at the Senior Bowl, he was 31 and an eighth inch arms, which is tiny.
Short for a tackle, obviously.
Right,
yeah.
And so I think that kind of confirmed he's going to be a guard or even a center at the NFL level. But then here, it was 32 and a quarter, which it's solid. It's not great, but I think that the difference, and we saw several prospects, Garcia, his arm length was bigger here, Taylor Moten from Western Michigan, another guy. That was kind of the biggest head turner, that why the difference, what's going on. But I've talked to other teams who have measured Forrest Lamp separately, and they've received similar results, 32 and a quarter, 32 and a half. So it seems like the Senior Bowl measurements were off. I think Forrest Lamp really cemented himself as a first-round pick, and I think he will when we see him work out as well.
Is there an offensive lineman like a Marpet who had questions about his level of competition when he came out, and he's obviously now a legitimate NFL player, mm-hmm. who may just surprise some people by coming out of the shadows, and they say, yeah, you know what, we just don't know about his level of competition, but it turns out he turns into be a pretty good guy.
Yeah, and I don't know if we have that, you know, Marpet, he's a unicorn coming from the D3 level.
I know.
But, you know, a guy like Taylor Moten from Western Michigan, coming from the MAC, you know, yes, they had a number one overall pick a couple years ago with Eric Fisher, but I think with Western Michigan, a team that most of the competition predominantly is against MAC competition, and they don't have the pass rushers that you're going to see at the NFL level. So for Taylor Moten, who's a right tackle, the Senior Bowl is important to see how he did against the top-level talent, and he did well there. And yeah. I think that will carry over and help himself here at the Combine. But I think Taylor Moten, definitely a player who was looked at as a third, fourth rounder, might move up into the top 100 picks, has some guard tackle flexibility. I think he can start at right tackle pretty quickly if you draft him.
I had a couple fans submit some names you wanted me to ask some of your draft guys about this week. I got a few in the defensive tackle class. I'll mm-hmm. throw them to you as a group. You can kind of go through them as you want. I got Caleb Brantley, Malik McDowell, Terrell Basham, and Jaron Jones. Why don't you give me the rundown on those guys?
Well, I'll start with Jaron Jones. I tell you what, you watch his Miami tape, I think he's a top 10 pick. This guy is he's built. His length, his wingspan is outrageous. Just wait till we get the numbers on those. The effort is inconsistent. And like I said, Miami tape, outstanding. But then you watch some of the other tapes, and you miss him because he's invisible. And so you wonder about the inconsistency. You heard some differing things about his character off the field. So a lot of work needs to be done on Jaron Jones in terms of just his football character, his individual character, and why he's not showing those consistent flashes. And in a similar vein, Malik McDowell. This guy, in my opinion, is one of the top five talents in this draft.
He's 6'6", right?
He's 6'6", and he moves a lot better than that, too. And
wow.
I like him better on the edge. I think what he can do with his length, you can move him inside, but you can also move him outside. He can 3-4 teams, 4-3 teams, even odd fronts. They'll both be interested in this guy.
He smells like a Chris Canty type of guy, right? Could do a little
right.
bit of both.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, but again, when Michigan State's season kind of went downhill, so did McDowell. And so, you know, the effort, what's going on there, those concerns, you know, you could – they don't, usually don't get better at the NFL level, you know, when you start making money. But for some of these young guys, you just need a maybe kick in the pants and, hey, you've got this great opportunity in front of you. You're a first-round pick, but you got to live up to it. So maybe Malik McDowell will be one of those guys. I still think he lands in the first round, even with those questions. Caleb Brantley, I think he's your traditional kind of upfield three-technique player, under tackle, guy who on first movement, he's off the ball. You know, this defensive tackle class isn't great, but I think if you're talking about true defensive tackles, he's the first guy off the board, probably in the second round. That Jonathan Allen I'm including more as an end, or McDowell more of an end. But the true, like, three-technique defensive tackles, I think Caleb Brantley's the top guy, probably somewhere in those top 50 picks, maybe 40 to 50 area. Basham.
And the Basham who also is more of a D-end, I think.
He's a D-end, yeah. He's on the outside. A guy, what I really like about him is his progression from year to year. Go back and watch a sophomore tape, his junior tape, his senior tape. He's getting better. You can see the light bulb kind of turning on, shining brighter. So really impressed with Basham, the progressions he's made, his development as a run defender and as a pass rusher. I think he's has a second-round grade right now, a guy that can come in right away and help your team.
I want to go tight end. Can I do that?
Go ahead,
I didn't
Paul.
Know if you had some more callers coming in and chiming in on Twitter.
Got it.
It seems to me that this is probably the deepest crop of top three, four-round value tight ends that I've seen in a long, long time.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, is there a sense of urgency for some fans who are screaming for the Giants, they got to get Howard, they got to get Njoku.
Right.
They could get a guy in the third or fourth round who's going to give them a lot of good snaps.
That'll be the debate. I think that'll be the debate between now and up until the draft is, it's a deep class, but, hey, we have a chance at one of the top guys. You know, when do we pull the trigger? We don't want to take him too early, but Howard, there's a reason O.J. Howard's one of the top 20 players in this draft. Same thing with Njoku. And with Howard, you know, he's underutilized at Alabama. You know, I think we all saw that.
Don't tell Howard Cross that.
Yeah. But with Howard, you know, he can put his hand in the ground and be kind of an inline guy. He can be on the wing. He can kick out in the slot. Watching him at the Senior Bowl going up against safeties and linebackers, it wasn't a competition. Howard has the shake at the top of routes, the speed. He can create his own separation. And he's not an overwhelming blocker, but he can sustain just enough to get the job done. So I think O.J. Howard, not a lot of holes in his game. Njoku, the upside is just off the charts. I cannot wait to see him run out here at 6'4", 240 pounds, a huge wingspan. You know, he was the national champion hurdler or high jump champion in high school. So this guy's going to jump out the gym.
Wow.
I think the explosive drills will really show.
And he had an 80-inch wingspan today, didn't he?
Yeah, he's really impressive, just the physical measurements. Now, a redshirt sophomore, doesn't turn 21 until the summer, so a young guy.
And played only really 1 year in Miami,
right,
significantly,
exactly.
Right?
So as a blocker, he's very green. As a receiver, you know, his routes need work, but you see the natural athleticism. The upside is off the charts. I wouldn't shock me if Njoku passes Howard for a lot of teams just based on the upside, the athletic ability. But to your original point about this being a deep class, you don't have to get that guy early because you can get an Evan Engram or a Gerald Everett. My personal favorite's Adam Shaheen, Division II Ashland.
Ashland, right.
Just wait till you see this guy out here, 278 pounds. I think he's going to run in the 4.7s. At least that's what you see on tape. And that's the trouble with him is you're watching him against, you know, future dentists and accountants on the Division II level. So how do you, you know, how do you judge that? So this is going to be a huge week for Shaheen because, you know, he dominated D2 competition. But how does he do when he stacks up against, you know, the top-tier talent in this draft? I think Shaheen, if he works out like I think he will, he's going to be moving up.
Do you mind